Welcome to Conestoga 10, podcast number 9 for June 13th, 2006. Conestoga is Oklahoma's largest literary science fiction and fantasy convention. It will be held July 20th through the 30th, 2006 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We are celebrating 10 years of Conestoga, Misha Merlin Publishing, and Yard Dog Press. Snakes on a Podcast, Part 2. This is the segment where we talk about snakes, snakes in the cinema, and of course, snakes on a plane. It has nothing to do with the convention. This one is simply for fun. One of my favorite websites is Insultingly Stupid Movie Physics, and I knew that Hollywood would live down to my expectations. You never know when having friends who love snakes is going to come in handy. It is our sincere hope that what we talk about will enhance your enjoyment of the film. Well, we're back. Now we get to talk about snakes. We're going to talk about real snakes because Paul and Amanda have, what, how many now?
22.
Yeah.
22 snakes. And I'll have a read. You're going to give us their names?
I have a list in alphabetical order of their names.
And what kind of snake they are?
I could come up with that off the top of my head. I don't have it written down.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
I know.
And we're going to prove that we actually have snakes because we're going to take pictures and you'll see the pictures on the website.
Yes, we'll have pictures.
And why are we talking about snakes? Because there's this internet meme running around, snakes on a plane. And other podcasts are talking about it. I know one of them, Michael and Evo, just they're winging it show. They're nuts about this movie that's not even out yet.
I don't think it's even made.
No, it's actually in production. And its working title was Snakes on a Plane. Now, if you don't already know, you can go to the website, do a Google search for Snakes on a Plane, and find out more than you ever wanted to know about it. But Snakes on a Plane is the working title of a movie with Samuel L. Jackson. And if that's not enough for you to want to go see this movie, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I understand he signed without ever seeing a script.
They
told him the title, and he was like, I'll do it.
Well, really, what more do you need to know, man? It's snakes on a plane. That's a recipe for action movie disaster right there. And you know it's going to be bad, and it's probably going to be pretty damn funny.
And how long have you two had, snakes as pets?
6 years? Seven?
No, it's more like almost, nine, actually.
Holy cow.
Because we got our first bull snake back when we were in the old house, and it was like 97.
Yeah?
So it's been like 9 years now. So we've had many, many snakes over the years, starting with one. And it's one of those hobbies. It's like some people start with a snake, and they get it, and they have it, and it's another pet, and they enjoy it. And then when it dies, all that's
What's that snack food? You can't just have one.
No. Yeah. Some people are like us. You get one, and then you want another one and another one. And, of course, being giant nerds like we are, we immediately went out and got a bunch of books and started reading about them. And it's like when you have a pet snake and you're looking through a book of snakes, it's like shopping. You're like, oh, I want one of those, and I want one of those.
Oh, those sound really neat.
Those look really cool.
I want a breeding pair of those. I want little babies.
So you can get kind of addicted to it, and you can get a lot of snakes.
Well, you realize, of course, after people listen to this, you will be forever known as the snake people.
Oh,
well,
we already are.
Yeah, we already are.
Okay, no problem then. We won't worry about that.
We're already the snake people.
Well, another thing, too, is, like I said, we'll be talking about snakes in the cinema. We'll be talking about real snakes, too, because the thing is we wanted to have put in our two cents, or actually wanted them to put in their two cents on this movie, and how often Hollywood is... they're in the entertainment business, and they don't pay a whole lot of close attention to reality or physics, it's all about fun.
Everybody pretty much knows that when they go to see a movie and you see somebody, when you see Rambo firing an Uzi with one hand and hitting it with every single shot, you know that's not real. But the problem is that very few people know diddly squat about snakes, and so for some reason, even though they know that guns and cars and everything else in movies is completely fake, they tend to kind of believe the crap they see about snakes in movies, even though it's just as fake.
Well, most people have an inherent fear of snakes. I don't know if that's learned or if that's something that's people are inborn.
Well, there's some evidence that it's kind of inborn, because if you give a chimpanzee a piece of rubber hose with a diamond pattern painted on it, it'll go completely ballistic and attack it and stomp on it. So it may be just an inborn reaction for being primates. I don't know. It's certainly the first time a snake, even if you know, if it's your pet snake and it's a completely harmless snake, the first time it goes to bite you, you do get kind of this.
Oh, yeah. There's an innate flinch reaction, which you have to carefully school out of yourself, because actually it hurts more if they bite you and you pull away.
Yeah, you have to kind of just let them bite you. Sometimes you just get bit. Yeah.
And after a while, it starts to get actually kind of funny because, you know, the ones that we're keeping, they have really short teeth. They can't actually really hurt you.
Yeah, it kind of stings. And they bite pretty hard, but it's like.
Actually, the weirdest thing about it is that they're cold-blooded. Their mouths are cold.
Yeah, their mouths are cold.
Cold so. And wet, and it feels really freaky.
But that's the first question people always ask when you have it. It's like, this is my snake. They're like, oh, is it poisonous? It's like, well, here's my pet peeve number one. I don't know if it's poisonous. I've never eaten one. You know, poisonous is something that you eat and then it hurts you. Snakes, what snakes are is venomous. And no, it's not venomous. We have people actually ask. I've seen people that shows, look at a king snake. How do you remove their fangs? Well, they don't have fangs. And even if they had fangs and you removed them, they just grow back. So let's not be stupid. There's just so many basic things people don't even realize.
Oh, yeah. Our wonderful vet, told us about a woman one time who came in and asked if snakes were alive. She was apparently under the impression that they were some sort of plant.
Or a robot or something, you know.
And he was just agog.
Okay.
Yes, that was my response. I'm just like, okay, well, plants are alive, number one, and number two, no, that's just...
That's an animal, people, okay?
Well, you get to hear all sorts of anecdotes about different kinds of animals.
And people will tell you snake stories and swear that they're absolutely true when they're completely impossible. I had a guy tell me how he'd been bitten by a king cobra in Arizona. And swore up and down that this was true. And never mind the fact that, you know, there's no such thing as a king cobra in Arizona. Maybe somebody has one in a collection out there, but it's not going to be crawling along the side of the road. And if you've been bit in the middle of the desert by a king cobra, you would not be here telling me about it. Let's not be ridiculous.
The only time we'd hear about someone like that is, you know, Darwin Award winner. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's so funny because people make such a big deal about venomous snake bite being, oh, they're so dangerous. Well, if you look at the actual numbers, about the same number of people are bitten every year by venomous snakes as die from dog bites.
20 people die from dog attacks in the United States every year. I found statistics on this recently.
Oh, no, I've looked it up. It's more like 10,000 people.
I'm not talking attack. I'm talking like die.
Attack, yeah. And... You know, their average death rate for venomous snake bite in America is about 12 people a year.
And most of those are people who are drunk and messing with it.
Yeah. If you're not
a wild snake.
If you're not poking around and messing with it and you're not, you know, it's like seriously, alcohol figures in like 90% of venomous snake bites. So if you're sober, you're pretty safe right off the bat.
So most snakes in the wild, they're more afraid of you, like with most wild animals. And
oh, yeah, they just want to avoid. They want to move away from you.
Most snakes in the wild, you'll never even see them. The most places people see snakes is on top of rocks or on the side of the road in the morning when the sun's out and the snake's trying to warm up. But I tell people, like, the number one thing you can do if you're walking in the woods is when you're going over a log, step on the log, not on the far side of the log, because sometimes they'll be laying in the shade on the far side of the log and you'll tromp on them.
We actually have one of the snakes here in your kitchen here where we're recording. And it's this big white snake. What is it?
That's Amalthea. She's a West Texas rat snake, and she's leucistic, which means she was specially bred to have no red or dark coloration. She's not an albino, because even albinos still have red coloration. That's why their eyes are red, and they still a lot of times people think albinos are pure white because mammalian albinos like rats are pure white, but snakes actually still have a pattern when they're albinos, sometimes quite spectacular patterns, although the patterns will be all kind of pink and yellow and they're not the usual colors. But she's all white and she has blue eyes, as you can see.
A snake with blue eyes, that just slays me.
But they were actually a quite sought-after color morph in the day, back when we first started in the hobby. Because in the snake, in the reptile hobby, the next big thing is the constant drive. You want to breed the new, pretty color morph that nobody has so they can sell it for a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, it's all about the colors and the different color phases and patterns and combinations thereof and what can you breed.
You know, when we first got into the hobby, snakes like her, if you could even find one, you'd pay $200 for one as a hatchling. We got her about 4 years after that for about $60 because they'd become much more common at that point. But yeah, she's a She's a very pretty girl. Not one of our friendlier snakes, although she's pretty good for her species. West Texas rats are famous for being really, really nasty.
Yes, they're rather irascible snakes, although with generous handling, they do become quite docile.
She's a little bitey, but not too bad.
She's just enthusiastic. She likes to eat a lot, and she tends to mistake anything smallish and wiggly
like
for food. Like fingers.
Like a finger.
I'm sure that most people out there don't want to, that snake's only a little bitey.
Well, people completely, when the first time a snake bites you, and even the term snake bite has these sinister connotations, mm-hmm. and you realize that most snakes are completely harmless. Their teeth are so small you'd have trouble seeing them without a microscope, or a magnifying glass anyway.
Now, would you have to worry about, say, like maybe bacteria breaking, if they broke the skin, would they
They'll break the skin, and you will want to wash it just like any other wound.
It's not any worse than a cat scratch, in fact.
In a captive snake, it's not likely to be a big deal. If you're bitten by like a wild rat snake that's living in a muddy creek.
And God knows what it's been eating.
Yeah, you probably want to have that disinfected more seriously and probably get a tetanus shot. But for captive snakes, they're very clean. They're not wallowing around in muddy water all day. It's not really a concern. I've been bitten by multiple snakes in our collection, and it's not even as bad as a cat scratch most of the time.
Well, I'm sure you're reassuring the people listening to this. Oh, that's okay. It's only biting me. I mean, you two have, you've been around these snakes for a long time. So when people that they don't normally think of having snakes as pets. Now, how many people around the country, how popular is having snakes as pets?
There are about, we were just looking at stats on this the other day. There's about 4.5 million pet snakes in the households in the country that
wow.
keep pet snakes. And that's up from about 10 years ago, from about 3 million or 5 or 10 years ago. So the hobby is in an upswing. It's been in an upswing for about the last decade.
More and more people are turning to snakes as a viable pet alternative because unlike other reptiles, lizards, iguanas, and such, they don't require a great deal of upkeep. They're not difficult to take care of. They're also small.
Most of them are small. More popular species are like boas and pythons get rather large, and that's a problem. But a lot of the pet snakes, like rat snakes, king corn snakes, which are a variety mm-hmm. of rat snake, they don't get very big. You only have to feed them once a week. You usually have to clean their cage once a week. They don't make noise. They don't stink up your house. You don't have to keep expensive heat lamps on them or anything. They're really easy to take care of. If you have a week where you don't feel like messing with the snakes, you can just leave them alone. They don't really care. They don't need special lights. Most species don't need special lights or a lot of attention. There's more specialized kinds of snakes that do require, more specialized environments. We mostly don't have those kinds of snakes because we really don't have the time to spend on them.
Well, most people don't think of I guess because they are cold-blooded, most people, they get a pet, they get a cat or a dog, the word cuddly comes to mind, and I don't think the word cuddly comes to mind for snakes. So what's the appeal of holding the snake?
It's very much a tactile thing. They're very smooth. They're not slimy. That's one of the more pernicious misconceptions
that I find.
Yeah,
people think they're slimy, but they're not. They're shiny because they're glossy.
Yeah, they're very shiny and they're very smooth, and some of them have neat textured scales. They're just fun to hold. They're fun to touch. They're very strong, powerful animals. You can feel them. They're solid muscle.
And actually, some of them can become quite affectionate. If you handle them regularly, they get very used to being handled, and they will sit. They'll curl up at the back of your neck. They like to get in your hair at the base of your neck. Or they will get up inside your shirt, and they'll just rest in there. So they can become very friendly.
Because you're warm?
Well, part of it's because you're warm, but it's not all it is. A lot of people will say that, they're just like, lumps of rubber. They don't really have, feelings. And it's true in the traditional sense. They're not social creatures. They don't have a social structure. But they do, some of them, they do become docile and accustomed to handling. And
they can come to enjoy being taken out of their cages for more exploration.
They like to explore around and poke their heads into things. They're just like any other small animal.
Have you ever lost any snakes in your house? Have they gotten loose?
We actually have an AWOL snake in this house. It's probably not in the house anymore. I still don't know how she got loose. For many years, we never had any escapes because really, most of the time, snakes escape because their cage sucks, because they're not comfortable in their environment and they want to get out. But she never showed any special signs of wanting to get away. She's a very small snake. She's like a prairie king snake. She's about 2 feet long. But she just got out about a year ago, and we haven't seen her. So I'm assuming she got out of the house and is happily munching down bugs somewhere.
Her species is quite native to the area anyway.
Yeah, she's completely native to
the
Oklahoma
area. And there would be
plenty
of food for her around here.
So there's no problem with her, you know, surviving or out here. Still, she might turn up sometime. We had this very snake that we're looking at here, Amalfia, she got loose in our old house once. She vanished for, what was it, about 3 months?
She vanished for 3 months, and we found her in the entryway when my cats were over there staring at something fixedly, and I went over there to investigate, and there's this little white, very angry snake with a big lump in her middle.
She'd eaten something.
She'd been eating something. She had grown. She had a big lump in
her middle. So she had a fine little adventure while she was out, but it was good to find her and get her back in her cage.
It's typically survival rates for breeds that are, you know, albinos or leucistic, they don't live very long in the wild because, of course, they stand out like a sore thumb and all kinds of things eat little snakes.
And they will get spotted and eaten like that.
So I'm going to kind of change the subject a little bit here. But because, I mean, you're talking very calm and intelligently about these snakes, and some people have a very irrational fear of snakes. Matter of fact, a well-known comedian, Bill Engel, has very nice, has a very funny routine on finding, people finding snakes in their toilet. So,
I would be unpleasantly surprised.
My mother is one of those who has an irrational fear of snakes, so I grew up with that, and I always wanted to have a snake as a pet when I was a kid, but of course I couldn't even have a lizard because she was so terrified. I did have a lizard once. She let me get a lizard, and she would stand on a chair. When she came in my bedroom, she wouldn't touch the floor, even though the lizard's right there in an aquarium. She was so terrified of it. But I was like 9. I didn't know how to take care of it, and he died after like 4 days. So I was really kind of down on that. But she told me when I moved out, I could have all the snakes I wanted. So now I do.
Thing I heard from my parents. You know, when you move out, you can have all the pets you want. Oh, okay.
Okay. We took them kind of literally there, I guess. But well, some people have a really irrational fear of it, which is, you know, it's okay to have an irrational fear. I mean, for a long time when I was younger, I was irrationally afraid of spiders. I didn't like spiders and like them near me. I still don't like them like crawl on my face or anything. But I just thought it was silly. You know, most spiders are completely harmless. There's no point in being afraid of them. The problem is that this fear of snakes, people seem to kind of wallow in it and feel justified in it because some snakes are dangerous, which is just, it's silly. You know, they're far less dangerous than a Rottweiler, but lots of people have those.
And I think that that's one of the things Hollywood is banking on is people's irrational fear of snakes and people's love of horror movies. They love that thrill, especially when this movie coming out. Now, there are a couple of movies here that we're going to be talking about in a minute. I'm going to mention some titles in addition to Snakes on a Plane, Snakes in the Cinema. But before we talk about that, you said you had 21 snakes?
22.
22, excuse me. So we've listed off Amalthea, and you said a rat snake?
Amalthea's a rat snake.
A rat snake. Well, probably ought to go ahead and have you tell us the names of your other snakes. And,
all of them?
Well, you can maybe list a couple of your favorites, and maybe at the end I'll have you just go ahead and record the names and what kind of snake they are. But what are some of your – you've got 22 snakes. What are – do you have some favorites?
Well, we have some – our especially pretty ones. We have our show snakes that we always take out to show people.
Do you want to go?
We have Lahamu.
Lahamu, who is a leucistic southern pine snake. So she is also white with blue eyes, and she has little pink cheeks. She's like a little porcelain doll. She's precious. She's actually a cage mated up with a black pine snake and Caligon, so we have black and white. Don't tell my grandmother there's miscegenating going on. But
your grandmother's dead, dear. I don't think it's a problem.
They're very beautiful. They're big, too. They're sizable. You know, a lot of people come over. They want to see a snake. They want to see something that's pretty big.
How large are they? What size are they?
About 5 feet. Lahamu's almost 6, I think.
Yeah, 5.5 feet. They're about as big around as my wrist, but I'm a wee person.
So they're good size, but they're not like... Most fun people think a big snake, they keep expecting me to say I have like a 22-foot python
No,
or something.
I won't own anything
but
that
I'm not
that
gonna,
big.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep a snake that can overpower me.
Eat your cats.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of the big ones, not to mention the big ones, are just hard to feed. I mean, I know people who've kept big snakes, and they have to go out and buy, like, piglets or goats or something once every couple of months to keep them
fed. Or, like, whole live chickens.
Yeah, or chickens, yeah, which is a bad idea because that gets salmonella.
Well, and also just it's grody.
Yeah, because chickens always just crap all over the place when the snake gets all grody.
Oh, dude.
Can you imagine the squealing when you're feeding it a pig, though? I mean, holy...
No, I...
Well, as long as the...
It's bad enough when you feed them little baby mice and they squeak like that. Well, can you imagine a pig?
Hopefully he swallows the pig head first and it'll suffocate, but...
Well, they don't... See, that's another thing is people always... yeah, they do kill their prey by crushing it, mm-hmm. but you always have this kind of polite image in movies where the snake wraps around it in a perfect little spiral, mm-hmm. and they squeeze, and every time the person breathes out, they squeeze a little more.
No.
That's not really what they do.
No.
They grab a hold of it by the head, and they wrap around it in kind of a tangle, and they twist it around. Usually they break its neck within a couple of seconds, and they usually squeeze it hard enough. I've seen, you know, sometimes blood will come squirting out of those mice.
I'm sure this is really, really helping.
This is the TMI portion of the podcast.
Well, I'm just, it's one of the things that annoys me. Like, you show, like, Anaconda, which is a horrible movie, but
oh god,
they have the part where the anaconda is attacking people, and I'm like, if an anaconda that big attacks somebody, it would not
oh my god, their eyes would come starting out, blood would jet out of their mouth because it increases the blood pressure in the heart. Often, the heart will explode because they just, I mean,
a snake that big, it would just pop you like a zit. It wouldn't be even funny. You couldn't even show it in an R-rated movie. It would be too gross.
Oh, yeah. It'd be awesome.
It would be totally cool, yeah. But they never show anything that, I mean, that's not really...
You couldn't get away with showing what a snake that size would really do to a person.
No, you couldn't get away with it at all.
Not to mention that actually you're lucky if the snake strikes and gets a hold of the prey by the head.
Yeah, only a few of them are smart enough to actually do that, especially captive snakes. Because mm-hmm. snakes have been raised in captivity. They're not accustomed to having to aim.
So they don't have what you call good aim.
Their aim's not really very good. So a lot of them can only hit a stone-dead mouse that's being hanging in front of their face about half the time.
So they've got the aim of Imperial Stormtroopers.
Yes,
very
just
much.
That
they
bad.
Went to the Stormtrooper School of Marksmanship, so they're not good at it. So, yeah, people have this misconception about, snake keeping. And, yeah, you do have to kill a lot of rodents to feed them, but mostly you buy them pre-killed. And I mean, we have frozen batches of rodents in our freezer right now. So it's not like it's a real – it can be a really gross hobby. I mean, I'm the first to admit that, but –
there are ways to do it.
There are
so
ways
that
to do it,
isn't.
So it's not necessarily that gross all the time.
Yes, yeah, so I was highly amused by that one ad that sells, fresh rodents or frozen rodents.
Yes.
Frozenrodent.com. That's where I get mine. That's a plug right there. Very nice people. But we're going to run through the list. Our other favorites are we have Orpheus, who is probably our rarest snake. He's a what's Teneria ridleyi. They probably changed the designation by now.
Elaphe Teneria.
But he's the striped cave rat. He's an Asian species. They live mostly in caves in Malaysia. And they're
a species of rat snake, a weird little subspecies, and they're just stone beautiful.
We'll get a picture of him later because he's a beautiful snake.
Okay. He is gorgeous.
We'll try to have pictures of all the pretty snakes here for you on the website.
He's one of my special pride and joys because they're not frequently bred.
And we were lucky to get him because usually they only sold them in pairs, and he was an extra male out of a hatching. There were more males than females, so they were selling off the extras. And actually, one of my favorites is Amakak. He's our Australian water python, who are a small species of python. He's about 5 feet long on a good day, and they're kind of brown and olive drab, and they're really not very spectacular looking. If you get them under a good light, they have this kind of rainbow pattern to their scales, but most of the time you can't really see it. But I just like him because he's this idiot.
He's dumb as a parking pole.
He has a flat little head, and he has almost no brains at all, and they have an enormous number of teeth. I've never been bitten by him, but I read that they have like 240 teeth in their mouth. And they have, which is amazing because their head is like the size of your finger.
How many rows of teeth would that be?
Well, typically snakes have a row of teeth on the lower jaw and one on each side, just like a regular mouth, except that they don't have a mandible bone in the front. The jaw is not joined at the front by anything. The jaw bones are separate, so the lower jaw can spread really wide so they can swallow big prey. The top jaw, they'll have four rows usually. They'll have a row on the outside like we have. And then they'll have an inner row running along the top of the roof of the mouth. And all the teeth, the snakes don't chew. All the teeth are pointed and they don't have any edge. And they're little hooks that curve backwards. Mm-hmm. And so they grab a hold of it. The point of it is when they grab, you can't get loose. You can't mm-hmm. just pull out because all the teeth are curved backwards. And they will keep their upper jaw clamped down with the extra row of teeth so you can't move, and then they will kind of walk the lower jaws forwards and scoot the prey into their mouth so there's no chance for it to get away. That's if it's not dead already.
Yes, if you ever had a snake trying to swallow your finger, you will know this is a hideously efficient process.
Yes.
That usually you can only stop by intervention of A credit card.
Credit cards work pretty good for getting their jaws off your finger.
Or those little plastic business cards that are really thin. Those
yeah,
are
those are good. Some people will use things like alcohol.
Brandy,
because they don't like the taste and they'll let go. There is, because mostly a snake will bite you and then it will just let go.
Because it's like, oh, duh,
oh,
this
you're
is
not
food.
King snakes are different because king snakes ride the short bus. There have been documented instances of king snakes trying to eat rocks.
For 45 minutes.
But so they're not very smart snakes, but they're the ones who they get a hold of you and they don't want to let go. They'll wrap around your hand and they'll squeeze and they'll bite really hard. And if you let them, they'll try to eat your fingers.
So what is the recommended way of if they do latch on to get them loose?
Well, you kind of have to pry them off. You need help because you need one person to hold this.
The hard part actually is stopping laughing long enough. You start from the tail. You unwind from the tail, and then the second person gets a hold of the entire snake up to the neck, and then you can work a credit card or something in up under the lower or the upper jaw and gently pry it loose.
So that works. Some people have advocated if they won't let go, you hold them underwater.
I tried
and
that.
And when they run out of air, they'll let go. But these are king snakes.
This
you
is a lie.
You can't be sure that they're smart enough to do that. I wouldn't trust a king snake to be smart enough to let go rather than drown. Because they're not really, literally, they're
bug dumb.
They're really, there was one, was that a?
I love them, but they just have no brains at all.
I mean, they're, king snakes are native to America. It's just so people who don't know. They're a small species of snake. They grow to be about 3, maybe 4 feet long. They're mostly famous because they are pretty much immune to rattlesnake venom. And they eat a lot of baby rattlesnakes.
Along with lots of other snakes.
Lots of other kinds of snakes. But expressly, they are known to eat rattlesnakes. So a lot of people actually kind of sort of like king snakes. King snakes are nasty, snappy.
Oh, they're very cool.
Oh, they're very cool. I love them. They're just not very smart. They don't really acclimate to handling very well a lot of times. And they do come in a wonderful array of colors and breeds, though. So they're very popular in the hobby. They're little tractor snakes. They're practically indestructible. They will eat almost anything. Including each other. So you have to
house them. Oh, yeah, you can't house them together.
You can't cage them together.
And a lot of the time, other species that are found in North America, like rat snakes, corn snakes, if you put them
in the cage with a king snake,
well, if
or
you
even
put
near
them,
it,
yeah, if you put them
out
close enough, they can smell it. They'll be like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, I'm going to get eaten, I'm going to get eaten. And they'll just, you know, they become terrified.
They'll
and they'll go
out
off their feed. They show signs of stress. You have to be careful and house them separately.
And so what are some of your other favorite snakes?
We like Pituophis genera, the genus. We like bull snakes and pine snakes and gopher snakes.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of bull snakes. Our first snake was a bull snake.
And we currently have two albino girls who are pretty large.
Oh, man, they're complete bitches, too. They're gorgeous, and they're just
that's gonna
awesome.
Get cut out. But,
how big are these particular types of snakes, the bull snakes?
Bull snakes can get up to 7 feet long. There have been claims of people who've had them like 12 feet, but I've never seen one over 7 foot.
They average between 4 or 5.5 feet.
So they're large snakes for North America, and they're just cool. They're not spectacularly patterned, really. They get mistaken for rattlesnakes a lot because they hiss very loudly. The bull snake has the loudest hiss
of any snake,
period. Because they have a little piece of cartilage that goes across because all snakes have a little tube that runs up in the bottom of their mouth. Their tongue sheath is in. Their tongue comes out of. And that's what they breathe through. They don't actually breathe through their nose.
They can, but they have to have...
Have to have the airway down the throat there, but they have a little piece of cartilage that goes across it. Bull snakes do, so that kind of buzzes like a little primitive vocal cord.
I think of it more like a kazoo.
So they make a really loud noise, and they rattle their tails. A lot of North American snakes will do that too. People don't realize it, that they will rattle their tails if it's down under some leaves or up against some newspaper, for example. It can sound pretty intimidating, but it's not a rattle. If you've ever heard a rattle, you know the difference there. We had a friend whose name we won't mention because he's long since moved away, but he had about 20 rattlesnakes. He lived out in the country, and his whole front room of his house was just cages, slide front locked cages with rattlesnakes in them. And you walked into the front room, and it was just like, shh.
It sounded like somebody had turned over 15 or 16 rain sticks in the room, and
yeah,
it was
really
simultaneously
impressive.
Simultaneously beautiful and hair-raising.
Yeah, and whenever he left town, he had to leave his house for a while. He had an empty cage, and he would just kind of plunk it on the floor like it had fallen. He'd pull the front back so it was open. He'd just leave it there. Mm-hmm. So if anybody broke into his house, they'd see the open cage, and they'd just leave.
Yes.
Well, that's an interesting thought. I imagine he didn't have too many repeat visitors.
No. No, we were out there a couple of times. It was really cool. He had a great collection, but had a lot of rattlers, and they were very cool to look at and listen to.
Well, have we covered all your favorite snakes? Or
Oh, we could go on about snakes all day.
let's talk about one or two more, and then we'll talk about snakes in the cinema.
Well, we have we could talk about Jack. Jack's one of our favorites.
Oh, Smiling Jack.
Smiling Jack.
Smiling Jack, the hognose.
He's a hognose snake. He's about, what, a foot long?
Maybe? Yeah, he's like 15 inches. He's tiny. Male hognoses are very small. Females only get to be about 24 inches if it's a big girl.
But they just have funny little snub-nosed faces, and hognoses for a long time weren't seen much in the hobby because they were notoriously hard to keep.
Yeah, it can be tricky to get them to feed because their natural prey is stuff like frogs and toads.
And so they don't often want to eat rodents, but Eastern hognoses are still pretty hard to keep because they want to eat frogs, but Western hognoses, they can be
acclimated to rodents, and they do quite well in captivity, and obviously he has done quite well. He's adorable.
Yes, yeah, he's a good...
And it's so cute because they have a little upturned snout, and they have a very short nose, and it's because they eat frogs. They have fangs in the rear of their mouth instead of in the front, and they're longer, and that, of course, helps them to eat animals that can inflate.
They deflate the toads. That's what they're for.
And so they have these little short snouts, and they're upturned, and it looks like they're smiling. They're just precious little creatures, and he's very friendly. And who else?
Who else would we want? What would they like to talk about?
I don't know.
Well, maybe what we'll do is we'll talk about snakes in the cinema, and then we'll talk about it later. Now we're to the part of the podcast that I think most people are actually going to be interested in is snakes in the cinema.
Oh my God!
I've been infected by this meme, and because I knew Paul and Amanda, I think I've infected them with the snakes on a plane.
It's one of the things you either have to go with it or you don't. And if you spend all your time being really mad about how it's misrepresented and it's just wrong, then you're just going to get all worked up. But I love a really good bad snake movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also been, there's other well-known snake movies, of course. You know, who can forget Ka from the, Sterling Holloway in the Jungle Book?
Yes.
I've never actually even seen that.
You haven't seen that? Oh.
No. He hasn't seen that one, but I've seen that one.
You led a deprived childhood, then.
I was never a huge Disney fan as a kid, actually.
Well, see, I was, so I've seen all the Disney stuff.
And, of course, there's the CGI snake and, Harry Potter, the Chamber of Secrets, the Basilisk. Man.
Actually, that I thought the Basilisk really cool. was pretty cool, yeah. Basilisk was pretty awesome. I still want to get that Slytherin shirt, so I need to get that.
Oh, jeez, big dork.
And, of course, probably the most famous recent, within the last 20 years, famous recent movie with snakes, of course, is Raiders of the Lost Ark with Harrison Ford gets snakes.
Yes, that was so funny. What's funny is if you look, they couldn't find enough snakes for that. So if you look at the shots from the movie, a lot of them are actually legless lizards, which are not the same as a snake, actually, because lizards have eyelids and they can blink, and they have this long fold along their sides where their legs used to be. So you can, and a lot of them were rubber, of course. Mm-hmm. And then they had that little tiny cobra.
Oh, it was precious.
This
it was
little
just darling,
tiny cobra.
It was so mad.
I think there was. Are they filmed in separate shots where they put a piece of glass between?
Yeah, there's a big sheet of glass between him and the snake.
So they're really in the same shot, but there is glass between them because
Well, it's a cobra. It could still. I was always most impressed with the. What was it? Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, where Akura pulls the.
Yeah.
Where Sakura pulls the snake out of the basket and it's an actual cobra.
Yeah.
You can tell it's an actual cobra because the guy, it's obviously not the real actor, but the hand reaches in and grabs it and it's like, whew, that hood comes up and you're like, oh, okay. It's a real cobra. It's not fake. Because usually a lot of times, like in Clash of the Titans, they'll have boa constrictors laying around.
It's the deadly Burmese python.
It's the deadly European boa
constrictor. You see that all the time or in Excalibur.
Oh, yeah, where they had the European boa constrictor.
Which I love that movie, but there's a boa constrictor in the tree and I'm like, yeah, That's new.
It's like they had that whole part in Clash of the Titans. Remember where they're being attacked by the two-headed dog, and his sword has the snake on it, so he can't pick it up.
Yes, and he's
a
all terrified.
It's like a Burmese python. You know,
it was a 3-foot berm.
It is not. It's like a little tiny one. It's not even going to bite you. Just pick it up and pick up your sword and go kill the animated dog. You know, it's not hard. There's no or how Medusa has a rattle.
Yes.
Which is cool, but Medusa's in Greece. There's no snakes with rattles in Europe anywhere. It's an American variety of snake.
Remember, this is Hollywood we're talking about.
I know. It's just they don't even make an effort.
No, they don't even try.
Or like It was in Predator, where they had like a, just a little incidental shot with a snake crawling along a branch. And they're in South America, and they were actually filming in Baja, California, you know, or down in Mexico where they shot it, where there actually are boa constrictors. But what did? They trucked in a python from Indonesia for this little incidental shot. It would have been like they could have walked out into the jungle and found a boa constrictor and just stuck it on the branch to get in the shot. But no, that's not how they're going to do it. They're going to put in a snake that is not at all native to the region.
Yeah, I believe those people are called wranglers of some type, snake
yeah,
wranglers.
Yeah, snake wranglers. Although, in Scorpion King, actually, remember, they had the real cobras, too.
Yes, they had real cobras and Scorpion King.
And then they brought out the CGI cobras, which looked like... always bugs me, because they always have the CGI cobras, and they always come up, and they gape their mouths open, and you see the big fangs sticking out.
You can't see them.
You can't see fangs on a cobra. They
They're covered with a little fleshy pad that...
If you see pictures, you can just see... It looks like a little... like a nipple in its mouth. You can't even see the tooth at all.
No, it's really unimpressive, which is, of course, why they digitize it.
Why they digitize it,
to have
it,
these big, you know,
these
scary
big,
fangs.
Huge fangs.
Of course, I think what probably the scariest thing is seeing that hood. That should be enough to frighten anyone away.
Yeah, exactly. Had the big hood come up. I love the pictures of the little Asian woman who kissed the cobra in the back of the head.
Of course, one of the movies I remember seeing when I was a kid was...
Yeah, see, I've never actually been able to see
that. Oh, and I
that.
Really want to see that. That's
it's never been
bad.
Released on video.
Well, hopefully they'll release it because it was made in 1973, starred Sterling Holloway as the mad scientist who had the daughter.
Oh.
And the hero was played by Dirk Benedict.
Yeah, see, I want to see, actually, Venom was a movie that I wanted to see as a kid. I never got to see. It's about the kid who has the pet black mamba.
Oh, forget real.
And he gets
get
kidnapped
right
by,
out of town.
And he gets kidnapped by terrorists, and his pet mamba comes and saves him.
Oh, my
I've
God,
always wanted to see that.
That's like that Disney movie I saw that was like The Boy and His Wolverine.
Wolverine.
You know, what the hell?
A Boy and His
is
Wolverine.
Boy and His
yes,
Wolverine.
Yeah, Boy and His Wolverine. It's like the least sociable mammal ever, and it's supposed to be like friendly.
But the,
or like
the,
a black
mamba.
Mamba. Yeah,
oh
a mamba,
God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like the most, like the snake I would least
They're
like to
horrible.
Have to deal with.
They're yeah. horrible.
We'll get back in a second here, but of course, you know, of course then there was the snake in Kill Bill, too.
Is there a snake in Kill Bill?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Black Mamba was the name of Uma Thurman's character.
Yes.
Yes.
They all had snake names,
yeah, but I thought it was really funny they had Daryl Hannah, and she was California Mountain King Snake, which is like a little tiny dumbass variety of snake that's not dangerous in the slightest. You know? It's really stupid.
That was extremely amusing.
That's like being named Gerbil, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, it's like not really very menacing
Siberian
at all.
Siberian Hamster.
It's like I always see that on album covers, too. I see lots of album covers, and the bands will have photoshopped like a snake in the cover of their album. You know, the guy will be there with the snake.
And it's like a corn snake.
Or it's like a deadly corn snake. Yeah, it's
and he's
really
making his freaking metal face. He's like, oh, I'm so cult. And he's got this corn snake.
And it's like really stupid looking.
That's terrible.
It's like, that's not a dangerous snake at all. That couldn't hurt you. The only way it could hurt you is if you choked on it.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, that's okay if we got sidetracked, but I want to come back to us for a second. If you get a chance, hopefully they'll re-air or release it, because it's just an amazingly bad movie. But and of course, people remember, you know, Dirk Benedict is, you know, Starbuck from the original Galactica.
Yes.
And the plot of it is the mad scientist is, for somehow, to save humanity, he's like turning them into cobras. And,
oh, my God.
And at the end of the movie, because I'm going to give it away, he... of course, Dirk Benedict falls in love with the mad scientist's daughter.
Right, of course.
And I don't remember who played her, but you can always look it up in the Internet Movie Database, which is a wonderful resource.
Oh, no, we love the Internet Movie Database.
And then you can find it if it's out, but apparently it's not yet.
You know, it was never released for some reason. I don't know why.
Anyway, so if Hollywood's out there listening, put it out. We'll buy it.
Yeah, we bought Anaconda and Python, which are all similarly terrible movies. Come on.
No.
Surely if they can put Werewolf, I mean, that one they did on Mystery Science Theater, you know,
mm-hmm.
Werewolf, the actual movie, not just the Misty version, but the actual movie, you can buy it on DVD. It's like they put that out on DVD. They'll put anything out on DVD.
Oh, they'll get to it. I'm sure they'll get to it.
Okay. Now we get to the part where where I think many people have been waiting. We've already lost our audience, but we're going to get to the good part where we're going to talk about snakes on a plane.
And that's funny because who knows anything about this movie? It's just, that's the whole idea, right? Is it snakes on a plane? It's like the idea is that the guy's going to kill somebody. So he puts a bunch of deadly snakes in the plane to kill him.
Well,
which
I think
is like
that's
the most...
part of the fun, though, is that nobody knows what the hell is going on.
It's like the most dumbass idea to kill somebody I've ever heard of.
I know,
even
it's
for
hilarious.
Hollywood.
It's like, hilarious.
Like if you put a bunch of if you took like a whole, if you had a whole box full of cobras and we just dumped them on this table right at this second, if we just sat here and didn't move, they'd just crawl off the table and go hide under the furniture.
Oh, yeah.
Or they try to eat each other.
A room full of toddlers is way worse.
They wouldn't pay any attention to us at all.
Much more likely to kill you too.
I don't know. Toddlers on a plane doesn't quite have the same ring as snakes.
Oh yes,
on a plane.
But to anybody who's had to deal with both, there's an obvious.
Now rats on a plane. That would be
dude.
See, you could get something because rats are way more dangerous. Rats can chew through anything. Rats would chew a hole in the hull and get sucked out. Wouldn't that be great? Rats being sucked out of a plane at like 10,000 feet? That'd be hilarious.
Well, one of the thoughts I had was, you know, snakes don't like cold, and if it gets cold, they generally go into a kind of a torpor, don't they?
They'll find a place and they'll curl up. They'll try to find warmth, and if they can't, they'll just find a dark, tight space and lose curl up and they'll
depends
stay
on
there.
The kind of snake actually. Tropical snakes will go first and they'll curl up and they'll won't move. You know, rattlesnakes are North American. They've been observed crawling around actively at temperatures down to like 37 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
So they can be active when it's pretty cold.
And they don't you know, they don't really always care.
So it depends on the snake species and how much it's eaten recently and all that stuff.
I figure, you know, planes at 30,000 feet, you know, not that they'd open a window because they can't, but they could probably, you know, temperatures outside like minus 50. They could lower the temperature and cool those snakes. But, of course, the assassin probably thought of this, and he probably gave them little snake parkas.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, they're genetically engineered super snakes. That's usually the solution in movies like that. It's a genetically engineered super whatever, and it doesn't have to worry about this obvious plot hole. But like, what are the odds? Like, if you like, how many people are on a plane? Like 300 people on an airplane if it's packed full, and you dump like, even if you dump like one snake per person, that'd be a huge number of snakes. And what are you going to store them in? You going to put them all in a crate together? They just kill each other or eat each other. Or if you and like, I just have this, I have this image. I know they're going to like have in the movie. They're going to have like the big crate, you know, and we're gonna have constantly gone back and like shown like shots, like slow panning shots of this mysterious crate in the cargo hold with the music. And then finally it'll like a little thing will go off and it'll open up and all these snakes will come pouring out when really if you opened it up they just kind of all sit there, you know.
Oh yeah, it'd take them a while to figure out it was even open.
They just kind of sit there like, why should I go somewhere? I don't know. This, the odds of them biting the person you want them to bite is just ridiculous. You do more damage by dumping them into the engine and clogging it up.
Or in the cockpit by causing chaos.
Yeah, if you released them in the cockpit then the plane would crash and you'd win, see. Then you'd only need like two. Because, you know, just like a couple of snakes would cause enough. But if you put a couple of, like, you know, black mambas in the cockpit, that would cause enough chaos that you'd crash the plane. Because, you know, see, that would do it. But it just seems like an even more idiotic idea than usual.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to go see it.
Oh, well, totally.
I'm probably going to wait till it comes out on, like, you know, $1.50 movie or whatever. But the only thing I can say is that I worry that that kind of thing is, it's like on the one hand, you're like, oh, that's going to make people, give all these people these misconceptions about snakes, and they're going to get more afraid of snakes than they should. But these people are already afraid of snakes, and
well,
they're not going to change their mind.
Look what Jaws did for people's view on sharks for the longest time.
Yeah, which Peter Benchley felt horrible about later in life. He really tried to correct that. There's a really funny story where he was out in the Caribbean, and he's swimming around, you know, and scuba diving, and his scuba diving partner, he turns around and he sees him swimming away. And he's like, huh? And he turns and he looks and there's like a 9-foot white shark, which is way out of its area. Usually they don't come that up in the water that warm. But there's like a 9-foot white shark like 12 feet from him. And he's just like, this is going to make the most ironic headline ever because I'm about to be eaten by a white shark. You know, that'll be on my obituary, make it a big joke. And the shark looks at him, and it turns around, and it voids its bowels and swims away. And he's like, yeah, see, that's the reality right there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a mental image. I think that's just too much information.
You.
Well, it's just, it's always, that's what Hollywood has to do, is they have to take, you know, it's like, if you're in a movie and a lion gets loose from its cage, well, it's going to kill somebody, because otherwise.
Of course, they're just, you know, every wild animal is just, it's just waiting to kill somebody.
Yes, indelibly vicious.
The same way that if it's an alien race and it comes here, it either wants to gestate in our thoracic cavity or it wants to rape our women.
Yeah, exactly. Aliens, you know, it's like, what, E.T. was the only time an alien ever came just because it wanted to, like, buy some plants or something.
Yeah.
Get some Reese's Pieces.
Get some candy and stuff. That was just, you know, most of the time, you know, most of the time, most of your, you know, money is to be made in a movie is that, you know, all animals are vicious and all aliens are invaders from another world who want to kill us.
Well, it's peril.
You know, that's just the way it works. It's peril. Yes.
You have to have a little peril.
Peril.
Yeah, we're not going to rehash the plot because everyone can go and if they're adept at searching Google, they can type in snakes on a plane and find out more than they ever wanted to know about it. And there are two other podcasts out that I've seen with the title Snakes on a Podcast, but we actually have snakes.
We actually have real snakes here, and you know what? They're not going to kill anybody.
Nope. Well, I think that about wraps it up. I'm going to do some serious editing, but we'll get a good... Well, actually, this will be a two-parter, is what it's going to end up being.
Dun, 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 dun.
And then, of course, we have our target audience as well.
So, to be continued.
So I want to let you know, folks, that there will be no snakes at Conestoga.
No.
Because we don't want the birds of prey eating them, and we want people to come and enjoy the birds of prey. And we also we want to keep Paul and Amanda happy.
Because, you know, if we're not, you know, you might have a snake in your drawer or something when you go to bed. This is what they say. People are always like, what are you going to do? Are you going to put a snake in my car? It's like, oh, no, then something would happen to my snake.
And I want to thank you both for inviting me into your home to record this.
No problem.
Say something.
What?
Say thanks.
Nah, quit poking me.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, we're done.
Why do we do a Snakes on a Podcast? It's partly Steve Ely of Escape Pod's fault, but mostly Michael and Evo of Wingin' It's fault. Steve did a great monologue on why the title Snakes on a Plane was perfect. As for Michael and Evo, if they didn't go on about the movie the way they do, well, now I'm hooked. I want to see this film. I know it's going to be bad. I know it's going to be kitschy. I first heard about the film while listening to Escape Pod. Shortly after we recorded this, I saw the first real movie trailer. And it was everything I knew Hollywood could make it. Looking forward to seeing you all at Conestoga 10. For more information, our web address again is www.sftulsa.org or send an email to conestoga@sftulsa.org. Thank you for listening.